Well, here I am at the Hangleton West Blatchington Food Bank. I'm joined by the coordinator of the project, Zoe Smith. So quiet at the moment, but set to get very busy.
Hopefully, we've got a really busy day today. We're obviously expecting our clients. We're expecting about 9 or 10 clients to come through this morning. We're volunteers from two local churches, St George's Roman Catholic Church on Court Farm Road in Hove and St Peter's West Blatchington.
Where do you get all the donations from?
Well, we get a weekly drop of food from an organisation called Fair Share. And Fair Share are a national charity who get food from big supermarkets and wholesalers. They drop to us once a week. So we get our fresh fruit and veg, and we get eggs, and we get bread from them as well as tinned and dried stuff. But also we've got a series of 14 different collection points throughout the local area where the community have got behind us. The other fantastic thing that we've got is we've got the one-stop shop who support us, and they've got a donation point there. And also some of their staff come in and volunteer at the food bank once a month, which is really wonderful. And the other great supporter we've got is Waitrose. And every Tuesday, we go and collect any bread that they would otherwise throw away, and we're able to distribute it the next day at the food bank.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of people tend to think that a food bank just provides dried, tinned food, but actually you are providing fresh food as well.
Yeah, healthy eating is really, really crucial and important to what we do, because obviously, just because you may be poor or you're struggling, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a healthy diet. We also provide something called the recipe of the week, and we provide a bag with all the ingredients that they can take away and make that dish. So, for example, today our recipe is sweet potato, carrot and ginger soup, because it is really difficult to be creative on a low income.
Set me to work, Roz. What can I do?
Well, you could help finish off putting all these... I think we've got to put a bit of garlic in each bag.
Okay. Can do that.
And I think she's just gone to find a knife to chop the ginger a bit.
When people do arrive at the food bank, particularly if it is their first time, I mean, how do they come across? I mean, I'm just kind of thinking, if it were me, I think I would feel a bit embarrassed, maybe, yeah, that I was having to come to a food bank in the first place.
Absolutely. I mean, there is that level of fear, shame, embarrassment, and, you know, there's certainly been lots of tears coming in, but also tears going out when they're giving their carrier bags of food, and just how grateful people are.
We had one person that walked past about several times before they actually plucked up the courage to come in.
Yeah,
and when they did come in, they were so relieved just to be met with a smiley face and a cup of tea. And, you know, they left feeling, you know, much better, and they were able to come in the next week with more ease. And,
because it must be very daunting, particularly that first time. Mm. One of the criticisms that some people levy at food banks is the fact that it is creating a dependency culture, that people will become so overly dependent on the food bank that there'll be no motivation to kind of get out and provide for themselves.
Yeah, we absolutely take that criticism, and we work really, really hard to make sure that that people are moving through the food bank quickly. They're referred to us and they can come for 4 visits. And what we do is we have an action log, and we write down what their situation is when they begin and on each occasion when they come. So we're progressing. We work really closely with Money Advice Plus, who offer free welfare benefit and debt advice, because we do not want to create dependency. And there have, to be fair, there have been 1 or 2 cases which have gone on longer than we would have liked, and we have had to push people.
That must be tough.
It is really difficult, because there's probably still a need there, but not the urgent need that there was when they came through the first time. Mm. I mean, obviously, we are referral only. People can't just turn up to the food bank.
Yeah, important to stress that.
Absolutely.
That must be tough, though, Roz. I mean, you know, you do this. You volunteer because you want to give something back. Mm. You're obviously a kind person, a nice person. Therefore, it must be really difficult to have to say to people, do you know what, we've helped you enough. It's time for you to go it alone.
That's true, but it's also nice to see them forward on their journey, and I think that's what we really aim to try and do here, is to, you know, give them some strength and some support. A lot of people are having a very bad time. It might be mental health issues or something like that. To be able to guide them in that, you know, and find them their help. So it's, for us, it's more satisfying to see them go off and, you know, be able to afford their shopping for that week for the first time. It's just amazing.
by the level of need. I think, I mean, for me personally, I think Hove is one of those places where people think, oh, Hove, actually, it's very affluent. People don't need food banks round here.
I was really shocked, especially as in December when we opened up, the new Waitrose down the road opened up. So there was, we were like the yin and yang. And one of my clients had said he was eating quite happily out of their bins, you know, and it was so sad to see that there's such, you know, wealth just a little bit down the road, and this poor guy had nothing. And it is quite sad to see.
You must take that home with you.
I do, especially when I'm feeding my kids their dinner.
I bet.
Yeah, it's quite upsetting when...
especially when your kids won't eat what you've put in front of them.
Yeah, and you tell people, you know, some people have only got beans to live on. Met someone today that had 2 cans of beans in their cupboard to last them the whole week, and thankfully they came to us and we've given them a week's shopping. But yeah, it's very hard to explain. I've got a 5- and a 7-year-old, so it's very hard to explain to them that, you know, you're very lucky.
Some people criticise food banks and they say, oh, you know, it's people taking advantage. People have got money, they're spending it on flat screen tellies and, I don't know, scratch cards and cigarettes. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that?
Well, I've been guilty of thinking that myself. And until you actually sit in front of somebody and hear their story and go on their journey with them, I don't think you can really judge.
Benefits. I had no money coming in, and I was living in Worthing, getting my daughter to school at Wood and Dean.
Wow, that's a bit of a schlep, isn't it?
It was 2 hours every morning to get
out
of school.
How were you doing that? On buses?
No, in a car.
Oh, so that was costing you then?
All the money I was getting for benefit was going on petrol just to get my daughter to school.
So how did that come about? How come you were living so far away from her school?
I had a house in Wood and Dean that I shared with my dad. It was private rented.
Right.
My dad, through ill health, he had to have his leg amputated, so he gave up the tenancy on the house. And the landlord basically gave me just over 2 weeks to get my stuff and get out the house, and I had nowhere to go. So I went to my friend's house, who put me up, who had a spare bedroom. Because I went there, the housing said I made myself intentionally homeless, and that they weren't prepared to help me. So long story short, I had to get solicitors involved and everything else. And then the council agreed to house me, but they stuck me out in Worthing.
And then you had to, as you say, shell out all that money on petrol to get your daughter to school.
Doing about 50 quid a week in petrol just to get her to school.
And how much money did you have coming in?
About 80 something a week. So,
wow, so well, about
more or
30
less,
quid less.
All of it was on petrol.
Yeah.
And by the time, you know, I paid the gas and electric in Worthing and things like that, I had nothing left.
I mean, it's one thing, isn't it, struggling to feed yourself, but when you've got children depending on
you. Well, that's all I was worried about, isn't it? I'm not really fussed about myself because I can go quite a long time without eating. It's just my daughter, you know, can't starve a 6-year-old for 24 hours, you know, it's not right.
It's hard, I think, as well, to explain to young children, isn't it, that money's tight.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't really have a concept.
She comes out of school, there's ice cream vans and everything else, and you know, she wants one, and it's just like, I can't afford it, I'm sorry.
How does that make you feel?
Crap. Social services got involved and got me moved from Worthing to Hove. Still not Wood and Dean, but...
Can she not move school?
She can, but because she's got behavioural problems and things wrong with her, the move would probably unsettle her and she'd go backwards.
Yeah.
And I am planning on moving back to Wood and Dean area. So I just left her there because she's settled
plan.
There, yeah.
And her welfare, as you say, is paramount in all of this.
Yeah.
What about her mum? Where's she?
She's not around.
Right. God, so a single dad?
Yeah.
Doing it on your own?
Been doing it since she was 9 months old.
Gosh, that's tough.
It's not easy, but I wouldn't change it.
Can I ask what happened to her mother? She leave?
She mental health. And she ended up getting sectioned, so that's the way it's been.
How do you explain to your daughter the fact that you're struggling for money? Does she know you come here?
She knows I come here, yeah. She knows I come here to help get little bits of food and that. But I don't really explain it to her. You know, it's...
What difference has this place made to your and your daughter's life?
Yeah, I'm eating more healthy. You know, normally it'd just be microwave meals or something like that, yeah, quick and easy.
Yeah.
With these, where you get the recipes and...
Yeah, it's a great idea, isn't it? They give you the
it is, yeah, and it tells you how to do it and everything.
Are you much of a cook now then? Has this improved your cookery skills?
I suppose it has,
yeah.
You're trying new things. I say my daughter's eating some of the things as well, so it's good.
Well, she eats vegetables?
Yeah, she loves it. She'd rather eat a carrot than a bowl of chips.
I need you around my house. You've got to sort my kids out too. How did you feel the first time you came? Because I think for a lot of people, you know, the thought of coming to a food bank...
didn't come. Yeah, it was that. It's the unknown as well. I didn't know what to expect or anything like that. I don't know what I thought. I really don't. It's all right here. It's not how I thought it would be.
No, I'm with you on that. Do you know what?
I don't know what I thought it would be, but it's...
I'll be honest with you, I thought it would be a bit depressing, but... You hear laughter.
It is, people, yeah, it's happy.
A chat
and
over a cup of tea, and I think that's what has touched me the most, the kind of community aspect of it.
I think that's what shocked me more, because when I was in Worthing, they classed it as a B&B, but it was more like a halfway house. You know, the people there, I wouldn't want my daughter around them.
And was your daughter living there as well then?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was only six.
Yeah, well, she was five at the time.
And there were some undesirables, right?
Yeah, you know, they're talking to her and she didn't know whether to answer. And it's like, well, I don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to put a six-year-old in that situation
either.
No,
that's difficult.
So I suppose when I got offered to come here... I had all that in my mind as well, and I thought, oh, it's going to be all them type of people, you know, drunks, and I didn't want to be around them.
No.
So I was very reluctant coming, and then when I did, it's not like that at all. Like you say, it's all happy, and everyone helps you where they can. And
I suppose with having such a young daughter, it'd be difficult for you to work and get a job.
Well, because they keep messing my benefits about, you know, they start them, and then I'll get... allegations made that I'm working when I'm not, so they stop the benefit and investigate. I'd had enough of it, and I hopefully got a job.
Brilliant.
Expecting a phone call today.
Oh,
it's only delivering car parts.
Okay. It's a start though, isn't
it? Yeah, and it works around term times and the school hours, which is
perfect.
What I was looking for.
Yeah.
I can't afford childcare and things like that. Not at the moment, anyway.
No. Gosh, so you won't be coming here for much longer then?
Well, if I get the phone call today, this will hopefully be my last visit.
I'm going to keep everything crossed for you. I really am.
Thank
oh,
you.
That's brilliant news. Oh, well, things are starting to look up then.
They are, yeah. Getting there slowly,
yeah.
But...
What do you see in your future? What's your dream?
My dream?
I'm your fairy godmother, Stephen. What's your dream? Had a magic wand?
Well, to have my own house for me and my daughter. Normal life, you know, her going to school, me going to get a job, working, just being a normal, happy family.
Right, okay, what I'll do now is I'll go and hand in your shopping list, and then I'll come back in a minute and have a chat. There's a few more forms I just want to fill out, but in the meantime, enjoy your coffee and your biscuits.
Yeah.
To get you some more, I think.
I suppose one of the reasons why I wanted to come here today was to try and find out a little bit more about the people who use a food bank, because I think there are a lot of stereotypes out there, and it's really interesting to actually hear your story and find out, you know, what journey you've been on to find yourself here.
It's mainly of all the stuff we've got to pay, we haven't got really enough money for ourselves to not buy any such stuff for ourselves, like why someone actually sent us here, and it actually helped big time, pretty much. So yeah.
Do you mind me asking then, are you on benefits?
Yeah, like both of us.
Right. And there might be people who say, well, do the benefits not cover your costs? Are the benefits not enough?
They do cover the costs, just not everything else, really. It's mainly covering the bills of that. And
that's basically about it.
How did you feel the first time you came to the food bank?
A lot happier than we did before we did come here.
I actually felt really, really nervous. I don't know who I was going to see, because I just seriously thought that, I know it was pretty scary coming to somewhere the first time where it's like, you know, you've never been before, especially something like this. So I've just felt a bit really weary of coming, because I actually seriously thought it was someone from, you know, homeless people who's from the streets. So I just felt a bit queery. So, but when I first come here, I actually do like it.
Yeah. Everyone's so friendly, aren't they? That's the thing that I've noticed the most.
They are very, very friendly. They are really welcoming as well. So, yeah, that's quite good, actually.
Why do you think we're seeing so many food banks now springing up around the country?
Because basically the economy is going downhill when it comes to financially, everyone's losing money. It's not just people on benefits, and like, even the government and that are losing money, as far as I'm concerned.
And what is your story? How did you end up on benefits?
I'm on benefits because of my health. I'm on benefits because I'm an epileptic.
How does that affect your day-to-day life?
Yeah, I'm on medication, but it doesn't really help. And to be quite honest, my partner still has to be there 24/7 just in case I do have a fit.
So that's difficult. It's not like you can go out and get a job then either.
Not really, but I've actually will be soon, because I'm actually like lowering my self-esteem at the moment, so I can't do anything until that's really up high in myself. So I'm actually got learning disabilities myself, including looking after Jamie, and it's just like really frustrating to stay inside, so I'm like over the place right now. But soon, hopefully, I'll be actually getting like a voluntary job anyway. It's actually just only one day a week,
sure.
So I can still look after Jamie. And I really like looking after him. And even though it is hard, and I will admit that hands down, but I love it. I just love looking after him, kind of thing. I know it's like a little sobby thing, but
I like soppiness. More soppy the better, as far as I'm concerned. How did the two of you meet?
We was actually living in the YMCA, and when I first saw him, he actually had a really black face, and I seriously thought he had been in a fight. In fact, my uncle actually told me it's because where he had the fit out in the street, and that's how I met him, through his uncle.
So were you in the YMCA hostel because you had nowhere else to go? Or?
Pretty much, and because I fell out of my mum and everything. Not actually completely, it's just like, it's like up and down little situation from my mum's partner, because where I was on benefits, I didn't know how to look after my money properly. I didn't know how to save up. I was always skint and never could actually live by myself, and they knew that and everything. So they thought that I needed help, financial, and help me save my money. And that's how also we come across this place anyway, just to try and help us. But it's not just the food, obviously. It's just like everything we're having troubles with the budgeting, the money, trying to, as we said before, the clothes. It's just mainly basically everything we're like struggling on. So,
how much money do you get a week?
Oh God, you more know that one more than I do.
I don't know a week, but a fortnight we get 255.
And then do you have to pay your rent out of that, or do you get housing benefit on top?
We have to pay some of the rent and some of the council tax, but we don't know how much we pay for that, because it automatically comes out of our benefits.
You mentioned that you have learning difficulties. How much of an impact has that had on your life, do you think?
A lot, because it's pretty much mainly because of my memory, really, and it's like really, really annoying, because I just wish that I can just like go back in time, but just hope that I had another better life and not a better brain than I really got. And sometimes I blame myself, and I'm thinking it's not my fault.
It's not your fault. No, don't go down that road. And that must make it all the more harder to manage your money and things like that.
It is, pretty much, because sometimes I just forget what I'm doing, how much things are. it's just like goes down here, especially when it comes to maths and everything. He's more better doing things than I am, completely. He's more better doing cooking than I am. Like, just mainly all the stuff what women's supposed to do, he does, because I can't exactly do anything. I'm so useless.
You're not useless at all. And that leads me on to my next question. You mentioned you're struggling with sort of low self-esteem at the moment. How does that make you feel? I mean, how does it manifest itself?
Really, really a lot. I don't even know how it started, but I think I've never had my self-esteem, really, because I always used to get bullied a lot, but it doesn't bother me anymore, because as Jessie J said in one of the song one time, no matter how much you hurt me, it doesn't really matter, because I'll be coming back fighting even more anyway. No matter what people come at me, I'm still standing, I'm still me. At the end of the time, you can't bully me anymore.
Bullied at school?
I used to get bullied at school. I got bullied wherever I used to live. No matter where I used to live, I just got bullied everywhere. It doesn't really matter where I was, I got bullied.
Do you mind me asking how old you are now?
I'm 32.
And how old are you?
25.
You must be really pleased that you met Kim.
Yeah, I am. And to be quite honest, there's no way I'm leaving her.
What do you love most about Kim?
Mainly her personality.
When you hear her talk like she has been, low self-esteem, putting herself down, how does that make you feel?
To be quite honest, it puts me down, and most of the time I try and block it out as she's talking, and I know it's evil to do that, but where I've heard it all before, I don't really want to hear it again. But now that's going to make her not want to talk to me. Now she's heard me say that.
See, he loves you, Kim. Hey, you've got to have more. You've got to love yourself.
Yeah, I know. It's just like really, really hard because I'm so used to people slacking me down, and it's just like I'm just so used to it now that that's what, you know, what I think and I feel and everything. So, and I've actually got actually on a confidence building course to help me pick myself up, pretty much. So I'm hoping that will work, because this is my third time now going on to a course like this.
Fingers crossed it works this time.
But they always say three is the limit, if you get what I mean.
Right.
So
third time lucky, I reckon.
That's the one, yeah. I knew it was somewhere like that.
How did you end up in the YMCA? What was your story?
Basically, being a naughty child, and I got kicked out by my mum, and then got with someone else, and then we split up, and then that's how I ended up in the YMCA.
When you say naughty, what sort of things did you do?
Violent to other people.
Trouble with the police or?
Not really, no. Because mainly it was people that knew me that wouldn't report me to the police that I'd done it to.
You seem a very different character now.
I am. I have changed a hell of a lot. And the main reason that my mum kicked me out was because I basically stole my stepdad's car. And I was only 13 at the time.
Do you have any sort of relationship with your parents now?
No.
Well, my mum passed away this year in March.
Oh, I'm sorry to
hear
that.
I don't normally talk to my father that much, only because before the stuff what we had problems with before.
Sure.
And I will admit, he was there when we had our daughter taken away.
That must have been awful.
It is, because it just seems like everyone's taken away from me. My mum, my daughter.
How old was she when she was taken away?
I don't know.
She was under a year old.
Yeah. So it was really, really hard for both of us.
Do you get to keep in touch with her at all?
Not at all. All we got told is that we have a photo and a letter once a year, and that's about it.
Gosh, I can't even imagine what that's like for you both.
I know, it is really, really hard. And I know it's really, really annoying, but Eve prefers photos, but I don't. I just wish that, you know, I can just get her out of my head. I don't want to sound that in a horrible way, but that's the only way I can cope with it. But Eve prefers photos and pictures, so it's hard for, you know, both of us. It's hard for me, because every time when he rings me, it's got our little girl's picture up, because he's got, like, a photo.
Right.
So it really annoys me. I just try not to...
Breaks your heart every time.
Yeah.
Why did they take her away?
Because they think that I weren't able to look after her and my partner at the same time, because of he's got epilepsy. That's my learning difficulties.
Oh, do you know what? I wish you both all the best. I really do. And thank you so much for sharing your story with me. I think they've gone off to get your shopping, so they'll be back with it soon. And hopefully you can have a decent meal tonight. What do you think you're going to eat for dinner tonight? Is there one thing you're looking forward to most getting in that bag?
If it was me, anything to do with sugary stuff, I could just eat sugar right now.
Mainly the Weetabix.
That's what you're looking forward to. Well, listen, you enjoy your Weetabix. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Here are your tickets.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did you want to have a quick check through it, that you're happy with everything?
Yeah, sure.
Should I take your...
Oh, yeah, thanks.
And then we can just sign the form.
So what brought you to the food bank, Robert?
Well, originally I came here not to get any food. It was about utility bills. There was an electricity supplier who was holding a bit of a talk. And I was paying too much for my electricity, so I switched suppliers because of the talk I had with her. And I discovered it was a food bank as well, and I told them my situation. Because I was using a food bank in Brighton for a short while. But they said, well, if you need food and that, if your financial circumstances aren't very good, we can give you food here.
And what are your financial circumstances, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I'm unemployed at the moment. So I'm on an unemployment benefit, job seekers. But at the moment, because they overpaid me, they're taking money off me.
Oh, gosh. So how much money will that leave you with a week?
Well, after bills, electricity, water and everything, it will leave me £13 for food and other things.
£13? Yeah. Wow. No wonder you're here.
Well, yeah, they've helped me out a lot here.
Yeah. Why do you think we're seeing so many food banks springing up, not just locally in Sussex and Surrey, but across the country?
Just economic times. Bills are high, rents are high. You know, people haven't got the money they used to have.
Who do you blame for that?
Well, I'm not a fan of the present government. I've never voted Conservative in my life, so they've got some... I'm not blaming them entirely. But they've got a lot to do with it, I'd say, because before they came into power, I don't think there were any food banks, were there?
What were you doing work-wise?
What before? Well, I've worked for the electricity board. I worked for Royal Mail for a while. I've got an interview next Friday about a job there.
Oh, best of luck!
And I've done sort of driving jobs. I worked in a voluntary work at the moment, 2 days a week.
How hard is it to find a job in the current climate, would you say?
Well, in my particular case, not easy, because I'll be 62 in a couple of weeks' time, so that doesn't make it any easier. I mean, there are jobs available, but a 0 hours contract job's no good to me, because I've got a rent to pay. If I don't pay the rent, the landlord will get me out. And it's all right if you're living at home or sort of a youngster, but in my situation, I need guaranteed hours and money to survive, because it's expensive living around here.
And I think that's the thing. People tend to view Brighton and Hove as quite rich places, quite affluent places. That seems to be kind of the side of the city that is portrayed a lot of the time. So people might be quite surprised to even hear that there's a food bank.
Well, you just look, walk in the centre of the town, you see people on the street, in shop doorways, and I've noticed it's got worse the last couple of years. And it's not just English people who sleep in rough, it's obviously migrants, people who come in from other countries, and you see them. I mean, I go down the the housing place off the fence, and it's full of people down there. You know.
How do you see